grace, thankful for his mercy, thankful for his love. Preacher, thank you so much for letting us come be a part of the services today. We have thoroughly enjoyed it. I begged him when we talked about coming by this Sunday to let us stay 3 or 4 days, and he said, no, this one day is about all we can take. I'm just kidding about that. But it has been a joy and honor for us to be here. Thank you so much. We love his church, love your preacher and his family. And good to, like I said this morning, meet some new faces. And I used to say old faces, but I was scared a lady was going to throat punch me in the back one night. I meant familiar faces is what I meant. Get to meet some North Carolinians and some more North Carolinians and some Tennesseans and some, I heard one fella bragging about Georgia somewhere over on this side. So we'll pray for you, young man. And, good to see Brother Larry again. Y'all be sure to tell the preacher we said hello. We love Brother Hardesty. And take your Bibles just a couple of hours. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And then find your place in Genesis. I want to read a few verses in Genesis chapter number 6. And then I'll pray after I read Genesis and you can be seated. Genesis chapter number 6. You all know the story here in the book of Genesis about Noah and his big boat, Noah and his ark. And I want to read about the days we're living in right now. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible does let us know in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And I believe as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. I believe we're living in the days of Noah and the days of Lot simultaneously. I believe we're right there. I believe the Lord is soon to return. I know there's nothing else but the rapture of the church to take place in the prophecy or in the timetable of God, so to speak. That's all that's left. And you say, you believe in a literal rapture, that the Lord's going to come back. The word rapture is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but I believe we have the Bible. And I believe the Lord is going to come and take us away by force, preacher. That caught up, he's going to harpunzo, he's going to snatch us away by force. Gravity will lose its power. And we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But as it was in the days of Noah. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds just like 2024. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Skip down to verse number 14, and this is God's instruction to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it, in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And look at verse number 17, and God says, and behold, I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. Verse number 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. And God, our hearts have been stirred. Our ears have been touched. And God, I thank you for what we've allowed to sit under and be a part of today. And God, I pray for this church. I pray that you'd help it to continue to be a lighthouse in this dark world in which that we live in. And God, I pray that you would help it to continue on. I'm just tickled to death to see all the missionaries on the walls and to hear the mission reports tonight. God, trying to be a witness and a light, not only in their Judea and Jerusalem, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. I need a touch of the Holy Ghost. If there's one in our midst that's lost tonight, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Have your way in everything that's said and done. Lord, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory because it's in your name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I don't understand, or I can't understand or wrap my mind around how in the days of Noah that it seems like everybody is walking away from God. Everybody's doing the evil. Everybody's doing the wicked. I just read to you the verses, how it was man's heart was only evil continually. And it seems like that there's only one man walking towards God. We don't know what that's like. We have a room full of people that seemingly are doing, preacher, by the help of and the grace and the mercy of God, we're doing all we can to walk towards God. While this world out here seemingly is walking away from God, and you don't have to be real brilliant to understand that this world is in terrible shape. There's wickedness and vileness. You say, not right here where I live. Yes, right here where you live. There's as wicked and vile as there ever has been. As I've already said, we're living in the days of Noah. We're living in the days of Lot simultaneously. And the only thing that's going to help us is for the Lord to come back and take us out of here. Noah, in verse chapter number 6, I believe is 480 years old. You say, how do you know? The Bible lets us know that God's going to give us 120 years, a space of 120 years, the first two or three verses of chapter number 5. Chapter number 7 lets us know that Noah is 600 years old when the ark is finished, when God says, come down all thy house into the ark. So my North Carolina public school math, 600 minus 120, that is 480 years old. And God has asked Noah to start a building project. And Brother Brian, Noah could be, in the days that he was living in, could be one of the young little whippersnappers of his day, even at 480 years old. He doesn't have any children yet. You say, how do you know that? The last verse of chapter number 5 said Noah is 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So for 20 years, I believe Noah starts this building project. But I wonder, Brother Larry, what was Noah's motivation for taking on this great task at 480 years old? What was his driving? What was his push to say, yes, Lord, I will build just like you and I do? And he could have said no. He could have said, Lord, you got the wrong. Where would humanity be today? Would God have destroyed everybody? Noah himself, his three sons, and his three wives did get on the ark. The answer to why Noah did what Noah did. To the saving of his house. I believe every generation before him, the Bible says they lived so long. Noah was an aspiring father, Brother Brian. I believe Noah was thinking, I'm going to have children. And he's thinking, I know I'm going to have a wife. He may have already been married at this point. And Noah is thinking, are going to die. My children are going to be destroyed in the flood. If I don't prepare this ark, if I don't build this boat, my children are going to be part of what God says he's going to do. They're going to die just like everybody else. And I believe it ought to be every dad's desire. I believe it ought to be every grandfather's desire to do everything within your power in this generation, in this day in which you and I live, do everything we can to save our house. In these last days, the last of the last days, preacher, I believe we need to do all we can to save our house. I believe we need to do all we can to get our children in. We need to do all we can to get our grandchildren in. We need to do all we can to get our in-laws in. We need to do all we can to save our house. You say, how did Noah save his house? Number one, the Bible says this, by faith. I believe Noah just believed God. By faith. It hadn't rained yet. Noah had no idea what rain was. It hadn't flooded yet. Noah had any idea what a flood was. God had not destroyed the earth yet. Noah didn't have any idea what that was, but yet Noah said, I'm going to take God at his word. God said it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. The flood waters are going to come out of the deep, and I'm going to flood this earth, and every living thing is going to die. Everything that hath breath is going to die. And I believe Noah said, God's been true up until this point. God's been true up until right now. Why should I doubt God now? Why should I not trust God now? Why should I not take God at his word? The things we believe in this Bible, we have to believe by faith. I sure don't understand it all. I sure don't understand everything that God says, but by faith, I have to believe from Genesis chapter number 1 to the end of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. I have to, by faith, believe that God is going to do and God has done what he said. If you can get God created the heavens and the earth, you won't have any trouble believing the rest of it. You, by faith, as a mom, as a dad, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, you by faith have to take God at his word and believe that God is going to do what God said God would do. By faith. I believe Noah took the whole 120 years for sake of the message. I don't know how long it took, preacher. Don't know how much of the span of the 120 years that he took, Brother Larry. Don't have a clue how long it took him to get finished. But for sake of the message, we're going to say it took Noah just about the full 120 years to build this ark. And I believe in this 120 years, Noah would go build, he'd go off and preach. He'd come back and build, he'd go off and preach. He'd come back and build, and he'd go off and preach, trying to warn everybody about this judgment, trying to warn everybody about this flood, trying to warn everybody about the rain that was going to take place, trying to warn everybody that the only safe place they can be is in this ark. When everything breaks loose, the only thing that's going to save you is you have to be in the ark. Maybe Noah goes to the pre-flood Walmart. We have no idea how advanced technology was before the flood. There could have been a Walmart or whatever the case may be, Brother Larry. And Noah would probably go to the pre-flood Walmart with Mrs. Noah. And back before internet ordering and whatever the term is, back before ordering everything and having it delivered to you, I can remember a day when the man and the wife would go to Walmart. The woman would go through those sliding doors, get lost in that sea of stuff. Yep. And the men would sit out on the benches in the little lobby, and they would solve all the world's problems in about the 2 hours that mama was in the store. Nowadays, it's probably Carl's Jr. It may be Hardee's or McDonald's, whatever the case may be. They sit around. Y'all probably members of some of those groups that you sit around and you solve. You talk about sports and you talk about politics. Well, if it's me, I'd do this. And if it's me, I'd do that. If it's me. And so Noah gets in on the 4 or 5 guys already sitting there. And these guys are talking about this happening. And these guys are talking about that happening. And Noah just speaks up. 4 or 5 guys sitting there. Noah says, can I say a word? And one of those older men said, yes, sir, whippersnapper, what's on your mind? And Noah said, well, God said it's going to rain. And one man raises his hand and said, excuse me, sir, what's rain? And Noah says, I really don't know, but God said it's going to rain. And God said there's going to be a flood. And another fellow says, what's a flood? And Noah says, to be honest with you, I really don't have a clue, but God said there's going to flood. And then there's going to be judgment. And all 4 or 5 of the guys look at the watch and say, we got to go. We don't know what judgment is. And they get up. I think I heard my wife calling. I'm going to go in and find her. And every one of them get up and leave. And they're shaking their head, looking back at this little young 480 whippersnapper, year old whippersnapper, and saying, that fella has no idea what he's talking about. That guy is crazy. And they're walking off, shaking their head. And they're walking off saying, I don't believe a word that man said. Noah just kind of raises his voice just a little bit and said, fellas, it really don't matter what you believe. God has said it. God is going to do what God says he's going to do. And I'm just choosing to believe God. It don't matter what you believe about this Bible. It don't matter if you believe it or not. You will find out one of these days that every word in this Bible is true. Every page is right. God has put every jot and every tittle just like he wanted it in there. God has put every word just like he wanted. And whether you believe it or not, everything in this book is going to come to pass. But you have to believe it by faith. If you're going to make it to heaven, you have to by faith believe what God has said, that Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. You have to accept it by faith. You have to believe that God will do what God said he would do. And Noah said, if I'm going to save my house, if I'm going to save my family, I have to by faith believe what God has said. Maybe 25 years has passed in the building project. Noah has at least a 5-year-old son in the building project. He might have had, some people believe it might have been, they might have been triplets because of that verse that says in his 500th year, he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he could have 3 sons. Maybe some unbeliever comes up on the property, Brother Larry, where he's building this ark. And they walk a couple miles. They're looking at this big old monstrosity of a spot that he's going to put this ark on. Maybe he's just got a few frames up. Maybe he's got some wood already on the ark. Preacher, maybe he's already starting to pitch. I have no idea what's going on. But these fellas look at this spot and they're hollering, Noah! Noah! We just walked 5 miles to see what's going on. We heard you preach 24 years ago. We didn't believe what you were saying then. We don't believe it now, but we just had to come see. And they said, we got a couple questions for you, Noah. Are you doing this just to give Noah a pat on the back? Are you doing this to put Noah's names in lights, to get your name in the record book, to make Noah known? And I believe Noah looks at his wife. Maybe those 3 little boys, if they are triplets, are running around Mrs. Noah's legs, 5 years old. And Noah said, I've been trying to tell y'all for 25 years, this has never been about Noah. This is not about giving Noah a pat on the back. This is not about getting Noah's name in lights or name in the record book. It's all about them. I'm doing this because I'm trying to do everything within my power to save my house. Number 2, how did Noah save his house? The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, the Bible says, number 2, that he moved with fear. I honestly don't believe Noah was afraid of the flood. He had a covenant from God, chapter number 6. God said, I'm going to make this covenant with you. If you're in the ark when this happens, you're going to be saved. You're going to be safe if you're in the ark. He had the promise of God that everything was going to be all right as long as he was in the ark. I don't believe he's worried about the storms. I don't believe he's worried about the water. I don't believe he's worried about the flood. That word fear there, it's not as being scared, as being afraid. It's meaning reverence. I believe Noah's thinking is there's a God that's watching. There's a God that's keeping record. There's a God that's looking. There's a God that's keeping good notes. And God sees what I'm doing. God sees if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God sees the good and the bad. He beholds the good and the evil. And Noah said, if I'm going to save my house, I've got to realize that there's somebody higher than me that's in control. There's somebody that I reverence. There's somebody that I trust. There's somebody that I know is keeping a record. And Noah said, if I'm going to let my boys walk in this ark, if I'm going to let my wife walk in this ark, if I'm going to save my house, I have to move with fear. I have to know that God is watching. I can't veer off to the right. I can't veer off to the left. I can't step out of bounds. I've got to know that there's a God in heaven that is watching our motives. He's watching our ideas. He's watching our thoughts. He's listening to our conversation. The Bible lets us know that when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account for every deed done in this body since we've been saved. And Noah realizes that, hey, there's somebody that's watching me. I can't veer off. I can't go astray. I can't lead my family astray. I've got to do all I can to save my house because God has given me this task and God is watching, and I have to move with fear. I have to reverence that there's a God in heaven and understand that He's the God, He's the judge of this earth. And I've already believed what He said. Now I've got to give Him reverence. I've got to give Him honor. I've got to know that He is watching everything I do. In the day and hour in which you and I live, there is no fear of God anymore. There is no reverence. There is no trying to please God and live holy as far as this world is concerned. Mamas and daddies, your babies are watching. Mamas and daddies, Brother Chris, that whole group y'all had over there this morning, they're watching you. They're watching what you do. They're listening to what you say. They're wanting to imitate you. They're wanting to be like you. And I say, don't lead them astray. You realize that God's watching every time you're on your phone. God's watching every time you're on your computer. God's watching every time you're telling those jokes. God is listening and He's watching. And we ought to move with fear, knowing that God is keeping a record, knowing that God has everything set in place, that God is watching. We better move with fear if we're going to save our house, save our family. 60 years has passed. Here comes another group. Maybe they've walked 20 miles. And they walk up on the property. Maybe the ark is just about done. And you hear these words, man, look at the size of this thing. My goodness. Noah, where'd you come up with the plans? Noah, what's the square footage? Noah, we want to know. We heard you preaching 59 years ago. And Noah, we heard you say something about rain and something about floods and something about judgment. And Noah, we didn't believe you then. You said something about building an ark. We didn't believe you then. We don't believe you now. We had to come see it. But we just got a couple questions, Noah. Are you doing this just for Noah? Are you trying to get Noah's name known all around? Are you trying to get Noah a pat on the back? Are you trying to get Noah's name in the record books? And Noah looks at them 40-year-old boys and that wife of his. And he said, I've been trying to tell you for the last 60 years, this has nothing to do with Noah. This is not about Noah. This is all about them. I'm doing everything I can to save my house. 60 years I've been preaching that if you're not in the ark, you're going to face the judgment of God. And I'm doing all I can to save my house. Number three, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. And the Bible says, number three, that he prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. Now I know in Noah's day, lumber probably wasn't cheap. It could have been as high as it is now. They didn't just give that stuff away. And if you read Genesis chapter number 6, there is no promise of a truckload of financing for this project. You can read it all you want to. I know God's going to take care of us. I know where God leads, He provides. I know all that. But there is no promise that God's going to give all the funding, that God's going to give even Noah the 120 years to do this. He's not promised time, and He's not promised finances. Amen. To build this project. But if I think reading about Noah like we've read about Noah, I believe Noah knew my children are going to be worth it. My wife's worth it. It really don't matter how much it costs. It really doesn't matter how long it takes. They are worth it. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to spend all I can spend, and I'm going to take all the time God allows me to take, but I'm going to do all I can and spend it. I'm going to do all my, use all my time to doing all I can to save my house. I'm going to try to get my family in. I'm going to try to get my wife in. I'm going to do all I can to save my house. And I promise you, Western Hills Baptist Church, it does matter how much you give to try to reach this community. It does matter how much you give to these missionaries. God is keeping a record, and you ought to give and give and give some more, because I know one day, if it's your son or daughter that walks down an aisle, if it's your grandson or granddaughter that walks down an aisle, you'll be glad that you took the time to invest with Jesus Christ in them. You'll be glad that you took the time to read the Bible to them. You'll be glad that you spent the extra $5 in gas to go across town and pick them up to bring them to the house of God. Because I can promise you, if it's somebody in your family, if it's one of your children or one of your grandchildren, you'll be glad that you took the time. You'll be glad that you spent the money preparing your ark, doing what God has called you to do. Amen. To save your house. When your son walks down an aisle and gives his heart to Jesus Christ, you'll be glad that you invested in them with the gospel. Now, everybody's job is not to preach. Everybody's job is not to be a missionary. Everybody's job is not to build an ark. But whatever it is God has given you to do to reach your family, to reach your co-workers, to reach your neighbors, to reach your friends, do it all as unto the glory of God. Because when somebody says, yes, I want to be saved, you'll realize everything you've invested, every bit of amount of time you have given, it will be worth it just to see somebody saved. Noah's job was to prepare an ark. It's our job to travel around the country. Stop by Glendale, Arizona on a Sunday in the month of August and tell you I'm doing all I can to try to save your house. And I know I use that term like I'm the one doing the saving. It's not me. But I'm doing all I can to give them the gospel, to let them know there is a Savior that wants to save them. I'm doing my job, preparing an ark. 80 years has passed. Some naysayers come again. They step up on the property. Maybe Noah's up on the top framing in the window. Maybe he's framing in the door. Maybe he's growing some feed for all the animals. I don't have a clue what he's doing. But these naysayers, after 80 years, step up on the property and they say, man, look at the size of this thing, Noah. Good night. We heard you preach 75 years ago. They said, there's going to be rain and there's going to be flood and there's going to be judgment. And we had to come see for ourselves. Noah, we didn't believe you then. We still don't believe you. We just got to ask you, Noah, are you doing this for Noah? Are you trying to get Noah a pat on the back? Are you trying to get Noah name in record books? Is this about Noah? And Noah said, I've been trying to tell you for 80 years, this is not about Noah. This is about them. I'm doing all I can to save my house. Number four, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By the which, and I believe this is hardest part for all Baptists, the Bible said he condemned the world. He condemned the world. Mamas and daddies, I know when those little boys and those little girls come to you, I have four daughters, so I know what the puppy dog look is like is. Daddy, can I? Flickering those little eyelashes, and sometimes it's not hard to, I mean, sometimes it's real hard to say no. But a lot of times it's good to say no, because it does matter who they're hanging around with. It does matter what they're watching on their computer. It does matter who they're listening to. It does matter who they're talking to. It does matter where they're going. It does matter the friends they're hanging out with. It does matter. And all you have to do is give in one time, mamas and daddies. All you have to do is say, well, maybe just this one time. And you listen to this statement and you listen well. If you give in just one time and they go to that party and there's drinking and there's drugs and there's all kinds of stuff going on, let me let you know, those little babies, those little precious boys and girls you call sons and daughters, they may never make it back to the ark. They may never make it back to the church. They may never make it back to the things of God. They may get stuck out there, or they may die. They may die without God because you gave in one time. I can imagine Noah's sisters and Noah's brothers coming up to him. The Bible lets us know that he had sisters and brothers, and they walk up on the place, and just by reading and just by understanding that they were not in the ark, Noah's family, his wife's family was not in the ark, that just lets me know that they were probably part of the problem. They were part of the ones that's evil and wicked and vile, and their hearts evil and wicked continually. And maybe Noah's brother and sister come up on the property as the other naysayers have done. They said, man, Noah, look at all this. Noah, I can't believe all this. Noah, all you know is work, 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 work. All them boys know is work, 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 work. All they know is building arcs. And Noah, we're having a family get together next Saturday down by the lake. There's going to be some drinking, and there's going to be some drugs, and there's going to be some party, and there's going to be some dancing. Noah, why don't you take a couple days off? Bring them boys to the lake. Let them understand and realize what living really is. And Noah looks at his own family members and says, I appreciate the offer. And the boys are probably saying, Dad, can we go? Can we go? Dad, can we go? We hadn't seen our cousins in a long time. Hadn't seen our aunts and uncles in a long time. Can we go? And Noah looks at one of his boys and says, son, we can't go. No. And they probably throw the adage like your kids do. Why? And you throw the old adage back at them. Because I said so. Amen. But I believe Noah took it a step further. And Noah said, boys, we can't go because God said so. We're trying to do all we can to condemn what's going on out there. We're trying to do all we can to let them know that drinking's not right and drugs are not right and all the other stuff that takes place with it, it's not right. We have to condemn what's going on out there. Noah tells his own family, look, you're welcome to come in here. There'll be plenty. And I honestly believe there was plenty of room in the ark for anybody and everybody that would have walked up that ramp and came in that boat. I believe there was enough room for the whole world at that time had they chosen to come into that ark. But Noah said, I can't take part in what you're doing. I can't go out there and be part of the evil continually. And man's heart was vile and wicked. I can't be part of it. But you're welcome to come in here. And they said, nah, no thanks. And they walked off. And Noah said, I love you. You're welcome in here. But we have to condemn what's going on out there. This world is no friend to you youngins. This world is no friend to your teenager. This world is no friend to us as adults. It would like nothing more than to destroy us. The devil would like nothing more than to kill us, get us out of serving God. The devil would like nothing more than to get you out of the ministry. But I'm warning you today, do not be a statistic. Condemn what's going on out there. Stand firm as to what's going on out there. They want your babies. They want your grandchildren. But you have to stand firm, mamas and daddies. And sometimes you have to say no. Don't they may never make it back to the ark. Noah said, number four, we got to condemn the world. 100 years has passed. The naysayers come again. They've walked over 60 miles. And they said, Noah, we heard you preach 95 years ago about a flood and about rain and about judgment. Noah, we didn't believe you then, but look at the size of this thing, man. Noah, how much longer you got? How long before it's ready? Noah, we didn't believe you then. We still don't believe you now, but we got a couple questions. Is this about you? Is this about making a name for you? Is this about getting your name in record books, pat on the back? And Noah looked at his 80-year-old boys. Noah looks at his wife and says, I've been trying to tell y'all for 100 years, this has never been about Noah. This has always been about them. I'm doing all I can to save my house. Number five, and I'm done. Abby, y'all come on to the piano. Number five, the Bible says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And number 5 says, he became heir to the righteousness, which is by faith. Righteousness is not something you and I can produce within ourselves. Righteousness has to come from God. The Bible says the best we think we are, the righteousness we think we have, is as filthy rags in the nostrils of God. You're not getting in on your own merits. You're not getting in on your own deeds. You're not getting in on your own what you think is righteousness. You have to go in by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have to be washed in the blood, saved by God's amazing grace. That's the only way you'll ever step foot on the golden street of heaven. That's the only way you'll ever see Christ face to face apart from judgment. That's the only way you'll walk into the presence of God in that city that's built four square. You have to be an heir to the righteousness which is by faith. This is the best way I can describe righteousness. I think about that prodigal son who walked away. You know the story. He spent all he had. He's left hungry. But he gets to thinking while he's out there feeding swine about his, not his dad and all his riches, but he's thinking about his dad's servants. And he said, my father's servants have better than I have. They have a roof over their head. They have food on their table. They have shoes on their feet. And I'm sitting here, a son, starving to death. And I believe right then and there, he starts thinking about the speech he's going to give to his dad. And the Bible says that he came to himself. And I believe that as he's walking home, he is preparing his speech. He said, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. No, maybe that don't sound right. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. And as he's walking and as he's practicing his speech, the Bible says that the father sees him a great way off and the father runs to greet that son. And the Bible says that the father falls on that boy's neck. And a lot of people say that was in judgment. But I kind of have my own little thinking about that, preacher. I believe when that father took off running, I believe his servants took off running with him. And I believe as they're going, I believe those servants grabbed up rocks, because they know this boy has been an embarrassment to his daddy. They know this boy has walked away. And I believe the Bible, when it says, in the Bible where it says he fell on his neck, I don't believe he fell on in judgment. I believe he fell on that boy's neck in protection. And I believe he's thinking, if you're going to kill my son with those rocks, you have to kill me, because this is my son. I love my son. And the Bible says that he kissed him. And I believe after the father, those servants drop the rocks and walk away, I believe that father picks up that boy and starts to dust him off. And that father probably takes a step back and says, man, look at your clothes. They're filthy. They're covered in mud. They're covered in dirt. They're covered in filth. And he looks at one of them servants and says, go get my robe. Go grab my robe. And I believe that robe represents the righteousness of the father. I believe that robe represents, because when that boy put that robe on, you couldn't see the dirt that was on his clothes. The dirt was covered. And the father probably looked at that boy's shoe at his feet and said, son, those feet are covered with the filth of this world. Go get my shoes. Put them on this boy. And I believe those shoes represented the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Once that boy put those shoes on, the filth was no longer seen. And that boy could walk into the father's house covered in the righteousness. He said, son, I heard you saying something about not being a son but being a servant. Don't hand me that. Servant, go get my ring. And he put that ring on that boy's hand and he let that boy know, you're my son. You're in the family. You don't have to worry about being a servant. You are my son. And they killed the fatted calf and they celebrated that this boy had come home and he was able to walk in the father's house because he is covered in the righteousness of the Father. That's the only way you and I will make it to heaven. We had the filth of this world on our clothes. We had the filth of this world on our body. But God saved us and he covered us in the righteousness. We had the filth of this world on our feet. But God has put shoes on our feet. And we're able to walk through God's heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have become heir to the righteousness which is by faith. And the Bible says that Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives walked in that ark. God shut the door. And I know the timeline probably ain't exactly lining up, preacher, but let's just say, 119 years, 364 days, 23 hours and 59 minutes has passed. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives are sitting on that ark. The naysayers come again. And they're walking up on that property and they see that ark, the door shut. And they're hollering, Noah, Noah, we've come 100 miles. Just to see, we heard you preach 115 years ago about a flood and about judgment and about a rain and about you building an ark. Noah, we had to come see for ourselves. Noah, are you around? And about that time, a raindrop hits one of those fellas on the head. And they go, oh no. What he said was true. And about that time, the floods give up the deep and water starts filling this place at a rapid pace of speed. And people are coming out of the woodworks. Noah can't see a thing. There are no windows in the ark, but I believe he could hear. And there's people standing out there on that ark and they're, Noah, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. We believe you now. Noah's probably sitting there in the seat that he has for he and his wife and probably tears start coming down his face. Noah, Noah, let us in. And Noah said, I've been trying to tell you for 120 years. This has never been about Noah. This has never been about Noah's name in record books, getting a pat on Noah's back. This has always been about saving my house. He became heir to the righteousness, which is by faith. Those boys had to choose the same righteousness. Those daughter-in-laws had to choose the same righteousness. That wife had to choose the same righteousness. To become an heir, to be saved from the flood. I believe Noah was in the ark 375 days. Things kind of settled down. The boys are feeding the animals, and I'm done. The boys are feeding the animals, Brother Larry, and one of the sons looks at the other son and said, we got to go talk to Dad. We got to go speak to Dad. They finish up their chores and they go to where Noah is. And Noah says, boys, what's on your mind? And they said, Dad, we never understood why you always told us no. We never understood why you kept us from going here and kept us from doing that. And all we knew was work and work and work and work and building that ark. Dad, we never understood why you did what you did. But with tears coming down their faces, they probably said, Dad, but we're so thankful you took a stand. We're glad that you did all you could to save your house. And they said, Dad, we're here today because you've done all you can to save your house. I'm wondering, moms and daddies, God's not going to destroy this place by flood anymore, but there's a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. And I'm wondering, as I'm looking over the faces, are we doing all we can to save our house? They ought to mean the world to us. Preacher, them boys you got, they ought to mean the world. You want to do everything that you can as a father. Ms. Moore, you as a mother ought to want to do everything you can to save your house. I hope that's everybody's desire. We just stopped by to let you know I'm trying to do all I can to save your house. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.